Hello, I'm Alan, and I'm really glad you're here. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas today. Considering it's Christmas Day, I thought it would be fun just to share a little bit of scripture and have coffee with you and then just talk about the birth of Jesus and a reminder of how much you're loved. It can be hard in this world to really find true love. I know that's kind of the quest for most believers, most people. Are looking for someone to love them, someone to believe in them. Throughout life, you find that some of the people that were behind you are no longer behind you. Some of the people that used to believe in you, used to love you. The world keeps moving, and sometimes we can feel left behind. And today, I want to remind you that there's someone who believes in you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who will never leave you behind, will always be with you and always believe the best for you. I'm going to read out of the book of John, and we'll just start in chapter 1. We'll just stay there today. We're just going to take a little bit of time and share about Jesus and his coming. The birth of Jesus is the amazing miracle of God's salvation. God could not rescue the human race as far as fix it. He couldn't just snap his fingers. Legally, Adam sinned and turned the human race into a dark species. Legally, God had to find a way to give us opportunity to be born out of that family. God cannot fix the human race. He had to rescue us out of the human race by creating a whole new family, with Jesus being the firstborn, allowing us to be born out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. Praise God that we are now of the family of God. And I know people can be dysfunctional, but always remember, God is not dysfunctional. People can let you down. Preachers can let you down. God will never let you down. We want him to always be our focus. In John chapter 1, we'll just read verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, to remove the obstacle that stopped us from being with God. The obstacle was the nature of sin, and Jesus came and took that away. He became sin that we don't have to be sinners. What an amazing sacrifice he made. Now, we usually have traditions on Christmas Day of celebrating the birth of Jesus and Jesus in the manger, and you know, there's arguments about, well, he wasn't really born on December 25th, and they're probably correct on that. But it doesn't matter. We are here to celebrate Jesus and remind ourselves, Christmas Day, today, remind ourselves that someone loved you so much that he died for you, that he became the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is not a pretty picture. It's a sacrifice of innocent blood, that he became. He came from heaven to earth, and he became like us so he could lead us out of the family of Adam and into the family of God. You have someone who believes in you that much, who loves you that much, who cares about you that much. You have a father who thinks about you every moment of every day and desires the best for you, not just in this life, but for eternity, and has great plans for you. And it can, in life, it can come seasons where we don't feel loved, or we feel alone, or we feel abandoned, and our natural man will trick us into thinking we're all alone in this life. And you're not all alone. You'll never be alone. You may feel alone some days, but you will never be alone. You have a Father who loves you. The miracle of Jesus coming, the miracle of the birth of Christ, was more than just a little baby born of a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin because the nature is basically passed down from father to son. So being born of a virgin allowed him to be of this earth, but have the nature of God in him. We'll start in chapter 1, verse 1 of John. In the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus in the beginning of our beginning, not his beginning. He had no beginning. He's God. God has always been, always will be. So this was our beginning. In our beginning was the Word of God. Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He is God. He's always been God. And our beginning. He was there at the creation of man. He helped design the creation of man and was a part of Adam being brought into this earth as the seed of mankind. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. So he was God. He was with God. And Jesus was in our beginning. This is talking about Jesus and his divinity. The amazing Jesus, the Son of God. He calls himself the Son of God for our sake. But he is much as of God as the Holy Spirit and God the Father. They're equally independent, equally God. All things are made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So everything on this earth, everything that was designed in the beginning came through Jesus. That was in his divinity before the fall of man. Now in verse 4 and 5, it switches to Jesus in Bethlehem. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So verses 1, 2, 3 is talking about Jesus, the Word of God, as God in divinity. And then verses 4 and 5 talks about Jesus in Bethlehem, on this earth, who came in the form of man. He was as much man as he was God. Many people want to think, and there's ideas that God, Jesus being full of God, knew everything. So I always come up with this question was, if Jesus is in Bethlehem at the birth and there in the manger, in the crib, a little baby, Jesus, 8 pounds of little baby, did he open his eyes and see Mary and say, "Oh, hey, Mary, I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I remember creating you. I created the whole universe. I remember all of creation. And I can't say anything but goo-goo and ga-ga right now, but I remember it all." See, it's a good question, because when you realize that Jesus became a man, he had to discover who he was, the same way you have to discover who you are. He had to build his relationship with his Father, the same way you get to build your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And he had to grow in wisdom and stature. He had to mature, and he never sinned, but he had to grow up and mature. And I'm sure he had the same questions of, am I Jesus? Am I the Son of God, or am I just a lunatic? You know, and the same time, the same way the devil will tell you, you're not worth anything. God's abandoned you. You're not valuable. God will never use you. The same tricks the devil used against you, he's already tried on Jesus. And we know that Jesus defeated him with the Word of God. And you and I can do the same. So verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 4 and 5 is talking about Jesus being born, that from the seed of man, from Adam, after his fall, all the way to Jesus, man had a nature of sin, a nature of darkness in them. So the whole world was full of a species called the human race, who are dark because their nature is dark. They're actually dead in death, but they're separated from God. You're born separated from God. And so the whole human race, from Adam all the way to Bethlehem, was full of darkness. Men created another man, and women created another man and women, who were born into a dark species. That's why the argument of God sends people to hell isn't accurate. That God doesn't choose to send people to hell. The human race is born on a path that's going to take them to hell. God's trying to rescue us off of that path and birth us into his family. God wants to see heaven full as possible. Now, we do believe that there's an age of accountability. And I just say that whenever I talk about man being born into the nature, with the nature of sin, some questions arise about unborn children dying of abortion or of famine, young children dying of famine, miscarriages, that they're born with the nature of sin and don't have the opportunity to accept Jesus, do they go to heaven? Well, we believe that there's an age of accountability, and there's some evidence in Scripture, enough to have confidence, in my view, that it's okay to believe that a child who's innocent, who hasn't had a chance to choose, either because mentally they're not ready or they're just not mature enough, that God's able to accept them into the kingdom through what we call is the age of accountability. That because they're not accountable yet, they don't know right from wrong yet, God's able to bring them into heaven, even if they die before they have a chance to accept Jesus. So, verse 4 and 5, in him was man, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. So this is Jesus in Bethlehem. The whole world, family after family, generation after generation, was passing down a nature of sin, a nature of darkness, and it was going to continue for the rest of eternity. God found a way legally, the old covenant is what proves it, to slice in Jesus into the human race, into Israel's family, into Abraham's lineage. And he brought in Jesus, a baby born with an earthly mother, but no earthly father. Joseph was called his father, but he did not look like Joseph. He had none of Joseph in him. So he had the nature of God. And that's what it means by in him was life, and the life was the light of man. That all of a sudden, after over 4,000 years, from Adam until Bethlehem, babies born in darkness, all of a sudden in Bethlehem, in a little manger, a light was shining. And that was the nature of God in a human. And that was Jesus. Jesus was born with that nature of light and life. And that's why it says light shines in darkness. In the whole world, there was only one light that finally showed up. And it was this Jesus, the Savior, the Lamb of God, who was going to take his innocence and become the sacrifice so that you could go and be born out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. And I want you to just remember, if God did all of this to help you to become his child, don't you know he's going to do so much more for you every single day to help you to walk in your calling, to grow in him, and to overcome whatever you're facing? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. This is Jesus now in Bethlehem. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the world did not understand that Jesus was there in his divinity and his humanity. Jesus was the light. The nature of God was now in a man and in the human race. So for his 33 and a half years, he was the only light on the earth that walked around with the nature of God in him. Verse 6 talks about John the Baptist now. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That man became a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So as many as received him, that'd be you and I, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So your rebirth, your born again experience into the family of God. I know at the time that most of us got saved, we didn't realize how significant it was that we went down to the altar because someone told us, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. So most of us, that's the only reason we got saved and didn't realize what really happened was I actually received that light of Jesus that he was born with, that light of man. That's the nature he quickened within me. So when I have Jesus in my heart, it's not a little Jesus running around. It's the nature of God, the light, the life of God. The very life of God is now in me and in you because we are born again into the family of God. The first time we're born of the will of man. That's the only place humans come from is from other humans. God's not creating more humans. And so the only place to harvest children of God from is from the human race. We're born again into this family. There's no created children of God. We have to first be born by the will of man. What a powerful gift God gave us that we can actually create people. My wife and I, we created two little creatures that never existed before. By our will, we created two creatures, Harrison and Ava, who will live for eternity. And we created them, brought them into existence. And now that they're born again, their father is actually God. And they are children of God now. Their nature is no longer of Adam because they accepted Jesus in their heart. As many as received him, verse 12, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So you're born not of man's will, not because you were an Israelite. You're born of the will of God, God's will for you. The moment you were, well, before time, but the moment you were conceived was for you to find him and to be born again. And praise God, just the fact that you're listening to this and watching this with me and we're celebrating Christmas together, having coffee together on Christmas morning, on Christmas Day. Just the simple reminder, God loved you so much and has always planned for you to find him and to be born again where he can become your father. Now that he's your father, you'll never be alone. You'll never be abandoned. He'll always believe in you and be there for you and walk with you and encourage you to continue in your path with God. And you're not born of the will of flesh, meaning it doesn't matter how you got here, how dysfunctional or your family is or how your past is. As long as you found Jesus, you now have an opportunity to walk in the fullness of God in your life. There's really nothing, no brokenness of the past, no bad experiences of the past, no wrong decisions, wrong mistakes that you carry. There's really nothing that can hold you back. You can have as much of God in your life as you want. You are a child of God. I'll read this one more time. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In Bethlehem there was one light. So from Adam all the way to Bethlehem, no man on this earth had the nature of God in him. And then one morning, a little baby was born in Bethlehem. And a candlelight was shining from that nature, and you could see it. On earth it was all dark, but there was one little light. And for 33 and a half years, Jesus was the only light. The reason he was excited to go to heaven and to be the Lamb of God was because he knew that that would give the Father his desire, that the Father would become a father to multitudes of people. That's you and that's me. We are part of the family of God. Because when you're born again, you receive that light. The nature of God becomes your nature. And you're now born of God. You're more born of God than you are of your natural family. This is part of the battle with being a Christian. This is really walking that out and understanding who you really are in Christ. You are His child. You're born again. You're not just accepted. You are birthed. And I have a mama who loves me. I've been fortunate in this life to have a mama who will love me unconditionally and still my mama. And she loves me. I know she loves me. And I've learned more from love of God from watching my mama than I have from any preacher. That if I was in the worst condition possible, I could be a bank robber and in prison. And if no one cared about me, if no one wanted me anymore, I can tell you this, I have a mama who would be there for me. She would come visit me in prison. She'd find something to be proud of. She'd march through prison, everyone laughing at her for coming to see me. And she would say, "That's my boy. He was wanted in 20 states. He was the most wanted." She'd find something to be proud of. And I've learned from my mom, from her love, that God's love is so much more. And in your worst condition, in your worst failings, in your worst strugglings, He won't abandon you. He's with you. He believes in you. Doesn't mean He accepts all of our struggles. It doesn't mean that He doesn't discipline us or correct us and encourage us to walk into holiness. But I want you to always have courage and hope and knowledge that you have a Father that loves you. He knows everything about you. You don't have to hide anything. He knows everything about you, and He loves you, and He'll always love you. You can have more of Him and walk more in that love. Jesus, being born in Bethlehem, also became the Lamb of God, the sacrifice in His innocence. He became the sacrifice to legally allow you and I to be born into the family of God. When Jesus took the keys of the kingdom away from the devil, He didn't karate kick him or punch him in the mouth. He purchased the keys of the kingdom. He purchased the right. He became the door. He purchased the right through His blood. The purchase price of your salvation was the blood of Jesus being the Lamb of God. So today, I want us just to remember that you're born of God. You have a family bigger than you realize who love you and believe in you. I love you. And you have a Father in heaven who is your Father, who loves you. You have an elder brother, Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren, who loves you, who laid His life down for you. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, remind you you're loved, and encourage you to keep believing this year for a great year ahead, knowing that wonderful things are planned for you by God, and you can do it. You may have failed in the past. Well, this is your year for you to overcome, for me to overcome. We have the greatest cheerleader in the world, God our Father. He believes in you. Because of Jesus, Jesus made it possible for His Father to become your Father. I love you, and thank you for spending this time with me. Merry, Merry Christmas to you. God bless you.